540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. As the death toll continues to climb from the wildfires in Maui, officials are being pressed about why they made the decision not to sound the sirens, which could have saved many lives. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti asked Maui Emergency Management Agency Administrator Herman Endaya.
Do you regret not sounding the sirens?
I do not. And the reason why...
So many people said they could have been saved if they had time to escape. Had a siren gone off, they would have known that there was a crisis emerging.
Meanwhile, President Biden plans to head there on Monday. White House correspondent Nancy Cordes.
They're trying to keep as small of a footprint on Maui as possible, which is always difficult to do when you're talking about the president flying somewhere on Air Force One. But there's also, you know, a lot of pressure on this president to make this trip.
In the Dominican Republic, the death toll from a powerful explosion at a bakery is now up to 27. Crews are still working to extinguish the fire that was set off by the blast. The Georgia district attorney, who will be prosecuting former President Trump, is proposing the trial start on March 4th. But CBS's Nicole Killian says first, Trump needs to turn himself in.
CBS News has learned the former president could surrender next week. Co-defendant Rudy Giuliani is also expected to turn himself in.
Doesn't matter your status. We got mugshots ready for you.
All 19 defendants are expected to be processed at the Fulton County Jail.
With the new school year beginning, there are big concerns over the widespread shortages of drugs to treat ADHD. Correspondent Jim Crisula.
Since the medications are considered controlled substances, patients are required to get a new prescription for each 30-day supply. Some families are spending hours trying to find the medications, while others are paying hundreds of dollars out of pocket because it's not covered by their health insurance.
There's also a big shortage of school bus drivers. Our Adriana Diaz is in Louisville, Kentucky.
Parent Latasha Gomez was a school bus driver and now owns a nail salon. That's where her kids have been all week, with their schools closed until Friday.
I trust that the school system realizes that it was a disaster, and they are going to try to do whatever they can to fix it.
There is still a bus driver shortage, with many leaving for higher paying jobs.
The U.S. Air Force is working with a startup company to make a sleek, futuristic-looking jet that could provide greater range and efficiency for military tankers and cargo planes. It's giving Jet Zero $235 million to build the full-size demonstrator blended wing plane. They say it'll be ready to fly in 2027. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
You've heard the word a lot lately, but what does it mean to be arraigned? The Department of Justice describes it as the first court appearance for someone facing criminal charges. A judge reads those charges, then the accused enters a plea. At the end of an arraignment, a trial date is set along with bond. And depending on the severity of the charges, the judge can add conditions to take away the defendant's weapons or passport before being released. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make STARS part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Chuck, Chuck.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, sometimes you just know it's going to be one of those kind of days, fella.
Hey, Crudy, happy hump day to you. It's one of those days. Thank you, Nate, working aboard our fair audience. Great to be with you all.
You know, Dom, I want to start today in our backyard. Keep her close to home. You know how we do. I'm sort of a homer of sorts.
Yes, you are.
And I saw an article overnight. Our friend, what's his name? Bruce Murphy over at the Urban Milwaukee. And Bruce posted a little story about a guy named Cheese Bro.
Cheese Bro? Don't be a Cheese Bro.
We've talked about Cheese Bro a couple times on this fine radio program, right, Dom? And there's an article about Cheese Bro. And you should know a few things about Cheese Bro. So I'd like to get there. And I'm sorry, Dom, I feel somewhat unorganized. I'll get there. Oh, here it is. Momentarily. I'll be there any second now. Here it is.
Imminently.
Imminent. It is imminent that I'm going to get to Cheese Bro. The strange life of Trump attorney Kenneth Cheese Bro. And you know, Cheese Bro is a cheesehead. Do you know that, Dom?
I did.
Wisconsin native charges a co-conspirator for role in devising the fake elector scheme. So let's get her started, Dom. He's a man with Wisconsin roots, and that, along with his last name, led his fellow students at Harvard Law School to dub Kenneth Cheese Bro the Cheese.
The Cheese.
Although his name is actually pronounced Chiz Bro.
Chiz Bro?
Chiz Bro? Chiz Bro.
That's not right. It's Cheese Bro.
It's got to be Cheese Bro. The attorney has now become a big cheese in the cases against Donald Trump for trying to overturn the 2020 election of Democrat Joe Biden. Cheese Bro has been named as a co-conspirator, number 5 in the federal indictment against Trump. And bear with me one second. You know what? Let's take this after this segment. Got company here in the studio. They're trying to help me out, but we'll figure it out after the segment, Dom. So anyways, Cheese Bro, big Harvard-educated Cheese Bro, but apparently something of a nerdy sort, Dom. And a criminal sort, apparently. Co-conspirator number 5 in the federal indictment against Trump. And tied for 5th with 7 charges against him among the 18 co-conspirators charged yesterday by the Fulton County District Attorney in Georgia. Cheese Bro, or Cheese Bro as we prefer, was the key architect of the strategy to use fake electors to overturn the election, which is the cornerstone of the federal indictment against Trump, as the New York Times has reported.
Way to go, bro.
And she's, bro, connected to two other Wisconsinites in the scheme. The first proposed the idea in November 18th memo to Jim Troupas.
Who's Jim Troupas?
Oh, Dom, he's a Trump attorney. You should know. If there's malfeasance in the state of Wisconsin run by a Republican, well, Jim Troupas has given them legal representation.
He's not far behind.
Dom, he's a former Wisconsin judge and a longtime Republican operative in the state who worked as a Trump attorney. And Cheese Bro also met with Brian Schimming.
Oh, Brian.
Radio Dog, fill in on Righty Whitey talk radio frequently all around the state, Dom. Schimming, who's now chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, to discuss this scheme according to the Fulton County indictment. And the story of his college nickname was included in a fascinating profile of Cheese Bro, written by legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin for the online publication Airmail. Toobin attended Harvard at the same time as Cheese Bro and described him as a shy, awkward nerd among nerds. Now, that's how we often describe Dom in college.
Yeah, that's Toobin. Crudy, I'll jump in here. A little background on the man. Cheese Bro was born in 1961, grew up in a small town in central Wisconsin, where his father was a public school music teacher, the story notes. Ken was a competitive debater in high school and college and at Northwestern. When he arrived at Cambridge for law school in 1983, he looked much as he does now, the same shock of brown hair flopping on his forehead, the same aversion to eye contact. Well, don't you love that? Aversion to eye contact.
A man that won't look you in the eye, Dom. Doesn't every man love a man who won't look you in the eye?
Mm-hmm. But Cheese Bro and Toobin were mentored by liberal Harvard law professor Lawrence Tribe, though Tribe considered some of Cheese Bro's legal theory too far out. Well, isn't that prescient, Lawrence? In those days and for decades after, Cheese Bro was a Democrat. Did you know that? Cheese Bro was a Democrat. After graduation in 1986, he moved to Washington to work for District Judge Jared Gessel, who would soon become famous for presiding over the trial of Oliver North. Cheese Bro LinkedIn profile lists him as serving as Deputy Special Counsel, Office of Independent Counsel for the Iran-Contra Matters for the U.S. Department of Justice. Big resume, big schooling. Can't look in the eye, and he's down for the coup, but I continue on. Again, this is from Urban Milwaukee.
Dom, Murphy's I don't know if you know this, but they were all down for the coup, but please continue.
Oh, no, where am I? Cheese Bro moved back to, okay, end of the day, Cheese Bro moved back to Cambridge, where he set up a practice as a solo practitioner, an unusual career move where he often did work for Tribe. Another quote, he maintained an enduring, puppyish devotion to Tribe, again, Lawrence Tribe, who still on occasion hired him to help with his cases, the story reports. But mostly Cheese Bro did brief writing for plaintiffs in civil litigation, often in personal injury cases or class actions.
Have you been injured in an accident? I'm kidding, Cheese Bro.
Have you lost an election and want to overthrow the government which you once ran? Call me. I'm Kenneth Cheese Bro. I'll be your bro in the coup. His LinkedIn profile, Crudy, says Kenneth Cheese Bro has handled more than 100 cases in the U.S. Supreme Court and lower courts, frequently on behalf of trial lawyers pursuing high-profile litigation against corporations. Typically, he represented Democratic plaintiffs. In 1993, Cheese Bro wrote a long article in the American University Law Review defending work for such plaintiffs and skewering Reagan administration ideologues and their colleagues in Congress. Cheese Bro's political contribution in those days went only to Democrats, Crudy, only to Democrats, including $1,000 to Senator Russ Feingold, another $1,000 to the Clinton Gore ticket in 96, $1,000 to Senator John Kerry in 2000. He assisted Tribe in his representation of Al Gore in the Supreme Court after the 2000 election. In a dense memo dated September 27th of 2000 to another member of the Gore legal team, Cheese Bro strategized about how Gore might prevail when the electoral votes were counted on January 6th of 2001, the story recounts.
But Dom, life changed dramatically for Cheese Bro. He made millions in Bitcoin.
What?
Yeah, man got rich in Bitcoin, Dom.
And then what?
Well, let me read. But in his 50s, Cheese Bro went through a stunning midlife crisis after investing in Bitcoin, selling out 4 years later, and making a fortune. It was around this time that Cheese Bro transformed his life, splitting up with his wife for more than two decades, buying a penthouse apartment at 230 Central Park South in Manhattan. That's not cheap real estate, Dom. Where the adjacent penthouse is currently on the market for $14 million. Around his 60th birthday, and here's where it gets really interesting, Dom. Cheese Bro began courting a young woman, providing trips around the world. Courting, is that what they call it?
Courting.
Tuition money, right? Yeah. Courting a young woman, providing trips around the world, including an extended one to Paris and London, to celebrate her 21st birthday.
Yay, you can finally drink.
What is the age of consent, Tom? According to a family friend, the couple has since married. At least he made an honest sugar, a woman out of her. Meanwhile, the cheese has turned Republican. Oh, how's that always happen? You trade in, you trade up, and you turn Republican. You get rich. You
move out. That's right.
You trade up trophy wives, and suddenly you're a Republican. So, meanwhile, the cheese had turned Republican, making political donations to GOP candidates. In 2020, he gave $2,800 to Trump's presidential campaign, $2,800 to Senator J.D. Vance in Ohio. Over two elections, he gave $5,800 to Rojo, the Republican who defeated Feingold. I don't know if you read that, Dom, but prior Cheese Bro had given money to Feingold. Now he supports the other guy.
Well, that was before he made a fortune in Bitcoin, dumped his wife for 20 years, got himself a hot little 20-year-old mama, and moved out to Manhattan, man. I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to continue supporting Feingold?
Well, certainly he's not going to look you in the eye. In all, Cheese Bro has given more than $50,000 to various Republican politicians in recent years, and Cheese Bro had also switched to representing Republicans in court. Now he's represented Senators Ted Cruz and Mike Lee and other Republican politicians in an amicus brief to the Supreme Court on the voting rights case out of Utah. His co-author on that brief, Jim Troupas.
Who's Jim Troupas?
Jim Troupas, the malfeasant Wisconsin guy. Here's a quote, Tom. Cheese Bro became entwined in the Trump effort when Troupas reached out to him, Tubin writes, in his deposition before the Congressional January 6th committee. Cheese Bro testified that Troupas, the lead attorney for Trump in Wisconsin, called him on November 9th, which was 6 days after the election day and 2 days after the national race was called for Biden, working pro bono for Trump. Didn't everybody, Dom?
Everybody does.
And exposing the kind of legal creativity that had been his trademark since law school, it was Cheese Bro who came up with the fake elector scheme. It was Cheese Bro all the time, Dom. There's more here. There's more in the life of Cheese Bro. But, you know, this guy, really, how do you completely change your convictions? You go from being a Democrat to a Republican. You trade in the wife of 20 years for a 20-year-old. You get the nice place on Central Park South, Dom. You know, I should have listened to those weird old guys on the weekend when they were buying Bitcoin. Bitcoin or bust. Cryptocurrency, that should be our new benchmark, Dom.
I don't want to be a cheese, bro.
Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. It's a hump day edition. You could be a part. 844-967-2789.
I'm a cheesehead, baby. The bride of...
A perfect day starts with perfect breakfast. Start your day with Brunch It Up. Our experts are serving up the ultimate brunch experience. Our menu is loaded with inventive dishes from chicken and waffles to cinnamon roll pancakes. Try unique cocktails like Brunch Bloody Mary with house-infused vodka. Come brunch it up over bottomless mimosas or a midday pick-me-up or with the whole family for an unforgettable Sunday brunch. Brunch It Up in Milwaukee, Brookfield, or Cedarburg from 7 to 3 on weekdays and 8 to 3 on weekends. Let's brunch it up.
Direct from the Dairy State. It's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a 3-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripescast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Fig Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies overnight with scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows dip down to about 61. Winds out of the southwest 15 to 20 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tomorrow. Scattered thunderstorms likely. High of 74. Clear skies tomorrow night. Lows around 52. Mid-70s Friday. Mid-80s Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 66 degrees.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum. I'm so happy.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocate Radio Show. Phone lines open. You can join us today. Same number as always, 844-967-2789. Scott Ross, our buddy, he's a firebrand. He's a Gemini. He's a friend of the Devil's Advocates. He's going to join us at 4:30 today. So it's going to be one fun day.
Very excited about the Scott Ross joining, what, like 10 short minutes, Tom?
Yeah,
have to get to it, though. But you know what? Scott will take some glee in, and I will as well. There's been some question about whether or not Donald Trump will attend the presidential debate in Milwaukee next week. Now, Joe Biden came to town yesterday. He knows there's a big happening next week. He was trolling him a little bit. I think there's a little trolling going on. So Joe Biden came to town, but the question is, will Trump come to town? And you and I have had differing opinions on this. I don't think the man could possibly miss the opportunity to grab the limelight. That's what Trump does. But what if, as an alternative, what if Donald Trump sat out the debate and he said, well, you know, if I don't go to the debate, I'm going to do something counter-program. We know a little something about counter-programming, Dom. Well, what would be a better counter program than going down and taking your arraignment on the chin in Georgia? During the prior arraignments of Donald Trump, they treat it like it was OJ, man. This will be OJ 4.0. Because, of course, man's now been arraigned a fourth time.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of assumptions there. Donald Trump has said he's going to have a press conference on Monday where he's going to show us all the evidence and prove the fraud in Georgia. So they may drop all the charges by next week, Crudy. He could very well be in Wisconsin.
Well, I'm sure he's going to walk. But suspecting he doesn't get fully vindicated and exonerated just in case.
Just in case.
I mean, you know, being the ratings machine that he is, Tom, wouldn't be that be the best way to A, stick it to Fox News, B, just dominate the headlines. I mean, if he's being arraigned right up, you know, late on Wednesday afternoon, they're going to have video and helicopters, and he's in the motorcade. He's in the car. He's car number three. He's heading down to the courthouse, Fulton County. You know, they'll do a whole big thing on it. All the channels will be watching, Dom. And you know what they won't be talking about? Ron DeSantis.
I think there's a little bit of a problem. Number one, I get you. Yes, he's a narcissist, loves the camera. But he's not going because he doesn't want to be beaten down. And he will get beaten down by the Republicans if he shows up. And number two, the timing is off, man. I mean, the debate starts, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel here in Milwaukee, 8 o'clock. Well, I mean, he's not getting a, he's not going to influence, even if he goes at, you know, right before the court closes. Normally, I guess what, at 5 o'clock, that's when they close. So they're not staying late for him. He's got to show up late afternoon. And by the time he, you know, gets in, gets out and gets back on the plane, you know, it'll still be before the actual debate. So he's not going to be able to influence. He's not going to be able to count a program at 8 p.m. The court's not arraigning him or booking him at 8 p.m.
Dom, I'm going to read you just briefly from the Raw story. And this originally reported from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Trump has long said he won't participate in the Republican primary debates. And the Atlanta Journal-Constitution reporter Greg Bluestein reported that local political operatives are suggesting that would be the perfect time for the former president to surrender to charges. I would cheer for that, Dom. He's already teased the idea of having his own, you know, contrasting event, if you will. That would be a contrast. Donald Trump can waive his first court appearance, but he cannot waive the surrender, Bluestein said on MSNBC. He is going to have to show up at the Fulton County Jail between now and next Friday at noon. My hunch is he's not going to go under the cover of night. And I know you mentioned at the top of the show there's a chance he could do it on the debate day next Wednesday, and that's what the political minds here in Georgia are talking about, the possibility he could do counter-programming to the debate. Well, Dom, that'd be genius. Who would have ever thought? Just go get yourself indicted down in Georgia. And then if you want to no-show the debate, but you still want to dominate all the news cycles, because, you know, during the debate, the Fox News, the moderators, who was it, Brett Baer and Andrea McCollum, I believe McCollum is the other moderator over at the Fox News for the big debate, Dom. Well, you know, they'd have to ask all the participants, did you see the arraignment of Donald Trump hours ago, minutes ago?
Booking. The arraignment won't be until September, which he doesn't have.
My bad. But the surrender, the actual booking, the handcuffing, perhaps?
The mugshotting, the fingerprinting. You know, you've done it three times before, Trump. You know how it goes.
But everybody on the stage is going to have to come out and defend the man. And there'll be two, and I'm not going to call them men of conscience, but there'll be two that do not defend this man. One, hang Mike Pence, that guy. Mike Pence is becoming more and more vocal all the time. Where were you when Trump was being impeached, Mike Pence, but becoming more vocal all the time, Dom, as he sees his glimmer. I mean, he was never going to be the president, right? His best shot was Trump died while he was in office, and that's the only
choked
chance
on a cheeseburger.
And the other guy, well, your boy Chris Christie, Dom.
Oh yeah, Chris Christie, gonna light him up.
But Trump wouldn't be afraid of that fight. Trump wouldn't.
Absolutely, Trump. Oh, Trump,
give me
is,
a.
Break. He is absolutely, man. Do you understand how insecure a man like Donald Trump is? You know what I mean? If he can't control
everything. I've known you for a long time, everything. Dom. I've known some insecure men.
Is that what it is? I'm insecure? Come on, man. Donald Trump knows. He knows that Chris Christie will light him up. And I, you know, and if he's not there, and I don't think he will be there, if he's not there, there's nobody to defend him.
Well,
other Republicans can talk about all the weaponization, yada, yada, yada. But Trump's not there to defend himself. His competitors who want the job he had that he's running for aren't going to defend him.
Yes, they will. Each and every one excepting Mike Pence and Chris Christie. And don't forget, Christie went to Mar-a-Lago and Trump made him eat the meatloaf and he only got one scoop of ice cream.
So he's mad.
And you know he wanted two scoops. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. We're like Raisin Bran, two scoops.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. In Hawaii, people want to know why officials didn't sound the sirens when the wildfires spread rapidly. Maui Emergency Management Agency Administrator Herman Ndaya defended the decision.
Had we sounded the siren that night, we're afraid that people would have gone malka. And if that was the case, then they would have gone into the fire.
The Georgia DA prosecuting former President Trump has proposed March 4th for his trial to start.
That's one day before Super Tuesday and weeks before Trump is set to go on trial in Manhattan, all sandwiched between two potential special counsel trials in January and May.
That's CBS's Nicole Killian. Back to school time, there's a big problem, a shortage of bus drivers to get the kids to school.
It's a trend nationwide. Chicago public schools have just over half the drivers they need. And in New York City, there's a looming bus driver strike.
That's CBS's Adriana Diaz. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize and get over. So I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
I mean, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed. So I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope they don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, a hump day edition. It's getting better all the time. Dom, we've been joined live via StreamYard by Scott Ross. He's a friend of ours. He is a firebrand, a Gemini. Are you currently employed, Scott? Can we give you a title?
I have no title presently. I am I'm post corporate.
You know, I've seen you quoted a few times recently in the papers. Maybe it was just for historical context, but let's be a little historical. Scott Walker, failed presidential candidate, is now trying to entice the guy that crushed his dreams and hopes and ambitions, Donald Trump, to show up on behalf of his benefactors, the, what's it called, Don? The Young Adolphs Foundation?
Young America's Foundation, yeah, yeah.
You know, they're paying him like 800 grand a year, and his only job is to, like, roll Donald Trump out at this presidential debate. And I don't know if he's going to be able to produce. And we were just talking, Scott, maybe Trump, maybe he'll show up for his, you know, surrender in Fulton County, counter-program the national debate. The only good news would be that would make Scott Walker cry. And that would make me happy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think it would be, I don't think it would be unexpected that something that Scott Walker touches, you know, especially regarding presidential politics, comes up short, because he, you know, as we know, he spent, you know, years running for president before he announced, and then he announces, and then after 71 days and burning through, you know, millions and millions of dollars, he's out of the race. So I mean, obviously, Walker, you know, was going to weasel his way into being, you know, involved in this since it's being held in Milwaukee. And he has so far not been able to deliver the, you know, the biggest star in the Confederate flag of Republican politics.
Real quick, Scott Ross, speaking of Scott Walker, the Foxconn has announced, or at least it's been reported, a couple of the innovation centers are actually going to be on the market. They're on the market right now.
And liquidating assets.
Yourself. Scott, of course, this was touted as by what? By Trump as the eighth wonder of the world. Scott Walker tried to use this to propel him to the governorship and fulfill his dream of 200,000 jobs. What's your sense as we look back now, knowing what we know and probably what we knew then?
Well, as we know, this was always an election year. You know, this was a Scott Walker reelection campaign stunt. And, you know, nothing that Scott Walker has ever done throughout his career in politics as an elected official hasn't had to do with what's going on with the next election. I mean, he is just a machine when it comes to that. And, you know, after winning the last race that he would ever win in 2014, he went, you know, to Terry Gall from Foxconn, and on a cocktail napkin, basically, you know, a less than one page handwritten note, you know, was about to give $4.5 billion of our tax dollars away on this thing. And if you remember, he went around, like, literally there was one of these quote unquote innovation centers in every single state, every single city in the state that happens to have a television station, you know, so like literally every single, you know, unfortunately, you know, the up in Ashland, the television station is in Duluth, so they didn't have something in, you know, Duluth, because that's outside of the state of Wisconsin. But seriously, like, we watched, and I was at One Wisconsin Now, and we were like screaming, you know, like, we need to see actual evidence of this, you know, let's see the contract, let's see, you know, again, all these things. And it was centers here, it was centers in Milwaukee. Hell, wasn't the University of Wisconsin-Madison supposed to get something like $50 gazillion or some kind of, like, ridiculous, yeah, like $150 million promise, that sort of thing. And we said over and over again, this was election year nonsense. And it turns out we were completely and totally right, all of us who were critics of Foxconn.
Scott Ross, firebrand, friend of ours. Scott Walker, friend to no one on this panel, came out recently in defense of Donald Trump, the indictments in Georgia, and said, you know, he knew a little something about being persecuted, being a political target, you know, because he was John Doe, was he not, Scott Ross? And I would just give, you know, I'm not a political consultant type, Scott, but my advice to any human being is, when someone is newly indicted, don't parallel yourself with that person. But Scott Walker chose to. What do you think of his analogy?
I mean, it is insane. Like, anytime there is something that Scott Walker is, you know, can tangentially express experience with, he runs and tries to do. I mean, we see it every time there is a military holiday. There are pictures of Scott Walker from like 15 years ago standing next to somebody in a uniform. And of course, he was, you know, this is the guy who, you know, the John Doe investigations of Scott Walker into his corruption, you know, first with using his taxpayer office illegally to, you know, on behalf of his campaign, which is something absolutely illegal. The second thing was about him illegally in his campaign, illegally coordinating with nonprofit group, you know, independent groups, nonprofit groups that by law are not allowed to do certain things. So he, you know, and when it came before the Supreme Court, you know, they filed a complaint with the Supreme Court because there were four justices. They tried, because of one vote, were able to shut down the investigation. Sorry, that took a long time for me to say, but basically, yeah, I mean, he's crooked as the day is long. He does have experience on this. I'm going to disagree with you, Mike. He should be talking about his near indictment over and over again.
Scott Ross, if I was going to draw a parallel with Scott Walker, political parallel, I would probably analogize him and the newly failing campaign of Ron DeSantis. And, you know, Scott Walker bailed out of the race 71 days in on September 21st. Technically, that's still summer. You know what I'm saying? Didn't even make it through the summer. Well, I suspect Ron DeSantis won't make it through the summer. I think there's a lot of parallels. DeSantis, just slightly better hair and a better education. At least he graduated.
Yeah, I mean, but DeSantis, I mean, I really intensely dislike Scott Walker with the intensity of a thousand suns. But there's just something, and maybe it's just like, maybe if Scott Walker had won an election since 2014 and was an active person working in campaign politics now, like if he was the governor right now, I bet they would be doing horrifyingly homophobic stuff, like transgender attacks, you know, up and down. So I'm, you know, banning books. You know, thank God we have Tony Evers in the governor's office.
All right.
But like, so right now, Scott Walker is what DeSantis would be if Scott Walker was in office, because he's, you know, I mean, you see what his Twitter feed is. It's a nonstop attack on women, on people of color. And well, if you can get women who are women of color, it's even better for him. It's a win-win. That's what he is basing his fundraising on at the Young America Foundation. And, you know, yeah, absolutely. 100%. Like it is the perfect parallel, the two of those.
You sure it's not the Young Adolphs Foundation? I always get those two confused.
I can see how you could make that error, Curdy. No, it's the Young America's Foundation. Scott Ross, Firebrand Gemini, friend of ours. I initially saw you tweeting out there. You're very active on the tweeters, on the X. Daniel Bice put out an article about Rebecca Bradley editing her Wikipedia page. And Scott, I just, you know, want to get your opinion on that. Apparently Wikipedia's like locked up the page because after she got done editing, a bunch of other people tried to get on and re-edit. Is this an appropriate use of a Wisconsin Supreme Court justice's time?
Well, I just want you to think about that picture. You know, Rebecca Bradley has been in the majority the entirety of her 7 years on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. We first learning about her when One Wisconsin Now was able to actually dig up the incredibly homophobic and extremist writings when she was in college. Just, you know, repellent, you know, calling people with AIDS murderers, things like that. And she was able to win her seat on the Supreme Court because that election was in April of 2016, when that was when this, you know, our state was, speaking of Scott Walker's presidential failings, when Wisconsin was the world's epicenter for the Republican Stop Trump effort. So 97,000 more registered Republicans voted in that April 2016 election than did Democrats vote in the Democratic primary. And Rebecca Bradley won by 95,000 votes. So, you know, I think in a fair fight, we had her. But she won. She's been publishing these horrible things. But I want you to just think about a sitting Supreme Court justice, right? The most powerful jurists in the state of Wisconsin. And she is sitting there looking to see whether or not her Wikipedia page is okay. And then, you know, desperately typing to change it. And yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I saw somebody noted the tweet in a tweet that she was changing her page. And it turns out, you know, Dan Bice like looked into it and she was, and of course said, you know, that she's the victim as always.
She's the victim.
And then it turns out like the day after that, Bice published a second story because she tried to wipe all the stuff that we had found out about her homophobia, you know, and erase that particular section, which was really, really stupid because literally there was so much stuff with that. She was literally editing and removing the work of like at least seven ex-Capitol journalists, current and ex-Capitol journalists. Right. I mean, it was just ridiculous. And yeah, again, I, you know, as a friend of mine said, when he saw the story, he's like, oh, I love that Rebecca Bradley woke up and saw your name commenting about her in the newspaper. There's nothing better than that. And then I texted him the second, you know, after the second one, I was like, well, how about 2 days in a row? And so, yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous. Like, you know, and again, that's what we have to remember. We have to remember that is why, you know, Janet won by 11 points. It is because the people have revolted against what the Republicans on the Supreme Court are doing, what they're doing with our rights when it comes to abortion, when it comes to fair maps, when it comes to voting rights, when it comes to labor rights, all those sorts of things. The people overwhelmingly toss them. And you're going to see, you know, I do like the fact that, like, you know, it was an opportunity to say some things about their side of the court, as opposed to us having to listen to, you know, the right wing blast our side with ridiculousness, like the Koshnick thing and all that sort of thing. So,
well, let me ask you, Scott Ross, are they going to wade in and try to impeach Janet Protasiewicz? The simple act of impeachment would take her out. Would effectively, she doesn't have to be successfully convicted, but while under the impeachment action under Wisconsin constitutional law, my understanding, she's sidelined. That's exactly what Voss wants.
No, absolutely. I have no doubt that they're going to try and pull this, you know, and for that period of time, it's going to be, you know, problematic. I mean, I hope the progressives, you know, and the justices are able to figure out what they want to do with this that's effective. But, you know, she gets impeached and convicted, you know, the governor then just reappoints her because he has the power to appoint the next justice. I think that's garbage, and I think it's nonsense, and I think it's undemocratic, and I think it's, you know, the Wisconsin version of the January 6th terrorist insurrection, you know, overturning the results of a duly declared and duly won election. So I think as progressives and defenders of democracy, that we, if they do decide to try and impeach her, we absolutely must flood the Capitol and make sure that our voice is heard and make the protests over Act 10 seem like a cotillion party, because, like, this is nonsense, them trying to do this. It is so very incredibly undemocratic.
Well, and Scott, they would allow them to effectively have the votes. They would only need a simple majority in the assembly, and they would need a 2/3 majority in the Wisconsin State Senate, which Republicans have a 2/3 majority by virtue of very partisan gerrymandering of the maps. And of course, the topic that would bring this ire to Voss's lips and whitey righty talk radio interviews is the fact that how dare she showed her hand, Scott. She thinks the maps are rigged. And of course, it's only to his benefit that the maps are rigged. And that's why he's got the power to impeach her.
Absolutely, 100%. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's a, you know, I just say this, Rebecca Bradley has ruled on two cases involving transgender students in the last year and a half. Both times she's ruled against transgender people, knowing that she had said all of those many different things. I have, you know, since he's been crying about her impeaching, I have been screaming as loud as I possibly can. Why is Voss not being asked why he didn't demand she recuse her for herself from cases? Because she has clearly expressed her opinion that she thinks gay people are murderers and criminals. You know, so I think that she's tipped her hand as well. But again, hypocrisy knows no bounds when it comes to the Wisconsin Republicans.
Folks, he is Scott Ross. He's a friend of ours. Gemini, firebrand, friend of the Devil's Advocates. Come back more with Scott and Dom and Crute and Nate and you.
A perfect day starts with perfect breakfast. Start your day with Brunch It Up. Our experts are serving up the ultimate brunch experience. Our menu is loaded with inventive dishes from chicken and waffles to cinnamon roll pancakes. Try unique cocktails like Brunch Bloody Mary with house-infused vodka. Come brunch it up over bottomless mimosas or a midday pick-me-up. Or with the whole family for an unforgettable Sunday brunch. Brunch It Up in Milwaukee, Brookfield, or Cedarburg from 7 to 3 on weekdays and 8 to 3 on weekends. Let's brunch it up.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change.
Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected overnight, with scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows dip down to about 64. Southwest winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. Scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 74. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Lows dip down to about 52. Tomorrow night, clear skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 66 degrees.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
The Devil's Advocates. Never personal, only politics.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Scott Ross, Firebrand Gemini, friend of ours, sticking around for another segment. Thank you for doing so. If you want to follow Scott Ross, check him out on Twitter, Ross Across WI. Scott, I want to get your sense of course, the debate here in Wisconsin coming next week already. You believe it? Donald Trump may or may not show up, but some of the plan is, well, hey, maybe he'll go down and get, and he'll take his booking on the day of the debate and, you know, draw some of the media attention towards him. It seems like the Republican Party's in disarray. Obviously, a lot of news coming out with Donald Trump and this next indictment. What's your thought on Fani Willis, Fulton County, and the case there and the Wisconsin ties?
Well, I mean, a couple things. You know, first of all, yes, obviously Trump's going to try and get attention and the media will flock to him, you know, as though, you know, in the way that they always do it. This is certainty. With regards to the Georgia indictment, I thought it was very interesting. I thought it was interesting. Of course, we know yesterday, you know, that current Republican Party chair Brian Schimming was cited in there. And I know Brian. I used to do television with Brian for years before he was the Republican Party chair. We had a show that we did, you know, I was the liberal, as you might, you know, believe it or not.
What?
And so, you know, I was surprised that yesterday he was so flustered. You know, they did a media call yesterday about President Biden.
No questions.
And once they started asking him about Brian's name appearing in the indictment, you know, they shut off the call. Basically, they turned it down. And I just, you know, the excuses people are giving when it comes to, you know, why, you know, oh, every time that Trump is indicted, there's a whole reason why, you know, he shouldn't have been. And this is just normal procedure, according to the Republicans. And this last one, you know, where they're saying, like, basically, you know, they're saying that Trump is being indicted. These people are being indicted for expressing an opinion, is like saying Ted Kaczynski was indicted for using the mailbox, you know, like it's just ridiculous. Like it's, you know, and so, yeah, I mean, I think I loved watching that the other night. I was enthusiastic. I don't watch televised news. I'm a listener more than anything. And so but I turned it on cause I heard it was going down, and like that district attorney is just incredibly, you know, focused and, you know, I'd say intimidated. If I was one of the indicted, I'd be intimidated, because it's very clear that she is not pulling punches, and she is not, you know, she is interested in getting to one thing, and that is the truth. And yeah, so they're going to have to fight this, and the Republicans are going to continue to, you know, the normality that once existed possibly in the party is going to continue to erode away as they, you know, defend and excuse any kind of reckless lawlessness because they're so terrified of Trump.
And Scott Ross, they desperately need this 91 times indicted former president. They need him on the ballot, Scott. They need him for turnout, because the Trump MAGA followers only really turn out for Trump. And the Republicans have moved so far away from all other reasonable human beings. If they can't turn out the Trump base, dude, they are dead. So they are so screwed, because they need Trump on the ballot to have any fighting chance in congressional races, senatorial races. If he's not on the ballot, no one shows up. And of course, if he's on the ballot, they're going to lose the presidency.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, it's a it is a sword of many edges, because I mean, think about it. Like, it's not just that they need Trump on to, you know, to have any kind of, you know, quote, you know, that there's none of the other people have a chance to win the presidency. But he's the only one who can bring out certain people that they need. But he still lost the last election by 8 million votes. You know, 81 million people voted against him. The biggest number of people to vote ever against one human being was Donald Trump. And the fact is, though, at the congressional level and lower, we have all these issues. I mean, we still have the fact that, you know, through several illegitimate Supreme Court justices, that Donald Trump was able to overturn Roe versus Wade. And so, you know, there, that issue, aside from the ridiculous with Trump, like, he will galvanize people to remind themselves when they're voting in congressional races and Senate races, I mean, Senate and House races, that the only way we're going to restore Roe versus Wade across this country is by getting Democratic majorities in both chambers. You know, so that's why you see like all the candidates jumping in the third congressional district here against, you know, Chugalug Derek Van Orten, in against, you know, that there are two candidates now against Brian Stile, you know, who is apparently a congressman who exists. I don't really hear that much about him other than he's helping to cover up Derek Van Orten's, you know, drunken, the tape of Van Orten attacking college students in the
high
Capitol
school students,
high school, school.
You know, it's called child abuse, man.
It's very clear. Like, he has a problem with teenage women, yeah, because like he, you know, as we know, he attacked a trans or a LGBTQ teenager who was working in a library and then took away all the LGBTQ library books. Like, again, when you're thinking about Rebecca Bradley typing at night, I got to redo this Wikipedia page, this edit. Think about Derek Van Orten going into a library and I'm going to check out all the books so you can't see. I mean, these people are nuts. I mean, they're beyond nuts. Like, and so like we have to, I mean, as Democrats, you have to remember that like we have the issue, you know, as Democratic Party of which I am in, we have the issues on our side. Abortion, maps, voting rights, all the, you know, top to bottom, economic issues, you know, and I think that the Democrats are in, if they do all the things right, they're in for a good night on election night, but it's going to take a lot of work. And that is a, you know, obviously more than a year away from now, an eternity, literally.
But Scott Ross, the Republicans can't even shake up a candidate for the U.S. Senate. I mean, they might default to Sheriff David A. Clark Jr., who ran as a Democrat when he was running in Milwaukee County.
It's pitchforks and torches time in America.
Oh yeah. He can get out his jersey that has all those like fake medals on that he put on or whatever they were. But yeah, no, I mean, it just shows you, I mean, it shows you the, I mean, I want you to just think about that, how bad the Republican, how in disarray the Republican Party is, that, you know, we just, Tammy Baldwin was the first member of Congress from Wisconsin ever in 1998, who is a woman. And now she can't even get an opponent. Like, they're so afraid of her. Like, she crossed all these barriers. You know, there are a number of barriers that she crossed as a member of Congress that one would have, you know, back when would say, oh, that's a vulnerability. But now she's literally, they can't even get somebody to run against her. She's that unbeatable. And, you know, I think that's good. I think that's a good sign both for her years of service, but also where the electorate is right now in the state of Wisconsin. Every indication we have is if Janet, you know, winning by 11 points across the state and sweeping most of the congressional districts is any indication, you know, it's again, the wind is with the Democrats at this point.
Scott Ross, 30 seconds. The Biden administration, you know, wipe out like 800,000 Bowers debts. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are, I think that's where Democrats are actually dropping the ball. They should be talking about the fact that, you know, tens of millions of people had student loan relief in their hands, but Republicans went to court to stop it. Because again, that's a monthly payment you wouldn't have otherwise if, you know, or it'd be reduced, and that's real money. It's allowing people to fully participate in the economic system.
Scott Ross, Gemini, Firebrand, friend of Brian Schimming and friend of the Devil's Advocate. Scott, appreciate you coming around today. Rest of you stick around. Scott, class dismissed.
Thanks, fabulous. Scott.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. my way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.